Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, Bottomed, my friend. How are you?
I don't know why you always crack me up when you...
I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's like a little Muttley laugh. It's a little Muttley.
Yeah. Well, I must say I'm very well, thank you. I've just had a couple of lovely days in Melbourne and back home now in Adelaide. And, basketball.
Yeah, yep. Let's say there. So you went to Melbourne, and I know that because we speak quite regularly once a week on this show. Yep. And, you know, we'll talk about all things NBL because it was a great weekend. But let's just talk WNBL very quickly. You went and saw a preseason game. Talk to me.
I figured, why not? You know, my niece, Sarah Blitzar, was playing.
One of our favourites, love Sarah.
Yep. Of the Melbourne Boomers who are having a run against Southside Flyers. That being and Boomers won, but really the result was irrelevant, and it was really just a run for both teams. Southside Flyers had sitting on the bench, not suiting up, was their two imports, Lauren Jackson, Beck Cole, Matty Rocher. So virtually their starting lineup didn't play.
Sorry, I've got to jump in there. How good is it that Loz is back?
Look, honestly, I was never in any doubt that she would be because when she did the Achilles injury, I thought she's working so very hard to get back. She doesn't want that to be the last note that she goes
I could see it for her and Paris. And I can see that.
That's right. Exactly. Because your WNBL season takes you to the doorstep of Paris. And if she's playing well, I mean, we're going to ignore her.
Pick.
No, we're not.
You know what? Yeah. Automatic pick if she's not playing well. You need that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because even if she's not playing well, she'll do what she did in the semi-final game. You know what I mean? Like, that's just in the final, for the third, fourth. So, all right, let's talk all things NBL. It was a great round. But before I start, Anthony Lamb has signed with the New Zealand Breakers for the remainder of the 23-24 season. I didn't realise, but he's replacing Justinian Jessup, of course, the shooter who was in Illawarra for a couple of seasons, out indefinitely with a pelvic injury. Very painful. But talk to me, and do you know much about Lamb?
No, I've got to admit I'm a bit sheepish about Lamb.
62 games, I will say, last year with the Golden State Warriors, and did play for Coach Mahmood, who is the Kings coach in the G League team that won the title for the Rio Grande Valley Vipers.
Okay, I wonder if he had any role to play in helping him get to Australia.
And we'll say, and then I'll let you go, I've had a bit to do with Mahmood because I've called a couple of games now for the Kings. Man, he's first class, dude. He is a first class individual. Forget on the court, I'm not talking so much there, but just the way he portrays himself, the players, the way they talk about him. Man, first class. All right, talk to me. What do you know?
No, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to talk at you. Because honestly, what you just said is so good because the way that man carries himself on the sideline, the way he behaves in the timeout, everything I've seen of him, I have nothing but the utmost respect. There's no kicking hoardings. There's no hold me back bullshit that we've seen from previous Sydney Kings coaches. This is the right man. This is the right man for the job, and he's going to get it done. And I would be thinking, you know, fear the purple yet again come the business end of the season. Very impressed with him. Even the way he handled the loss to Tasmania, just the way he was going about it, you know, it was very good. Very good.
Really impressed. Look, he might have had a bit to do with it on getting this Anthony Lamb. With anyone that's come out of, you know, he's played 88 games his NPL career or whatever, 66, 62 last season with the Golden State team. You know, I think I'm excited to see him.
I mean, I just think guys like that that are sort of on the brink of coming to Australia will usually ring someone that they know that is in Australia and say, like, give me a bit of a heads up. Is this worth doing or whatever? So I don't know if he's had anything to do with it, but it would not surprise me one iota. But let's talk about the best team in the comp right now. If you had to say, who's the best team in the comp right now, who would you say?
Oh, I don't think you can go past Tasmania.
No, you can't. You cannot.
Oh, good. Is that who you were going to say? And I promise people listening, we did not discuss this, Brian. I'm glad I got it right.
if you can beat the champs at home and then back up by beating United, when you are 13 points in arrears during the last quarter, come back and win that. So you've beaten two of the title contenders or favourites. I think the other one was probably Perth. So you're saying that by with those performances, you're basically saying we are very much in the mix. Okay, we've got the first one to Perth, but there was no shame in that in the way they played, and the Wildcats were really up for that game. Right at this particular moment, I think Scott Roth, once again, start penciling his name in for Coach of the Year.
Absolutely. And can I just say, I got a mention about an Andrew Bogut tweet. I don't know if you saw it, right? I'm not a huge Twitter guy, right? But every so often I get on there and have a little banter and stuff. And there's one that he tweeted before that Tasmania game, right? So you're talking about Tasmania. He said, what's going on in Tassie? First digital sponsor signage gets in our coach's way last season and then malfunctions after he's tripped on it.
Yeah.
And now a backboard has glass broken. Did you see the glass broken before the...
Yes.
So I just read that and I was like, Bogut, you know, people love, hate him, whatever. I just thought that's brilliant. I just thought classic gold, classic Bogut. But yes, staying on the
chat. I'll stand corrected. I'll even slouch corrected. I'll even lie down corrected. But I believe that the only other time we've had a busted backboard was also in Hobart. Probably in the very same venue, and it was by Jim Hurrilla playing for the
Jim.
Hobart Tassie Devils.
I remember Jim. He was a big dude. Yes, I remember him. Yeah.
Yep. So I reckon they've got the rights to backboard breaking down in Tassie. I think they've got that sewn up.
Right, wow. Look, just in some more other news as well, I'm hearing Mason Peatling will be out for this road double this weekend. He has a fractured cheekbone. Now, I think that's early on. It hasn't been 100% confirmed, but that's a big loss for them. I like what he gives them.
Yeah.
And can I say, I don't know how much you do know and don't know, but I'm going to ask, there is talk that the Sydney Kings Sydney Kings player who left to go overseas, DJ Vasilevich, I believe could be in Adelaide 36ers' mind.
Colours, yep, very, very soon. I think things didn't work out with the Washington Wizards in terms of his NBA tryout. I think it went G League, yes. And so he's looking to come back. Sydney's pretty much full. The 36ers are desperate.
Is he the answer?
Somebody. No, I don't think so. But he can't
still hurt. Gives him an import spot, though. So, because he's not taking an import spot, so it depends what they like. I don't know. I don't know how much
Brad,
you watch
Brad,
the weekend. Yeah.
Brad, he may take import money though.
Well, yeah, but you can do that as a marquee and not salary cap. But it just depends how deep the pockets want to go. I get you, and I hear what you're saying. I don't know how much you didn't watch on the weekend because I called the Kings Adelaide game, and there's times there where Adelaide they're good. Right. And in that third quarter, like they were against Perth as well, they were really good. I think Jacob Wiley's the one that gives them the lift, but we'll come back to that in a second. I hear that they, you know, they talk about a 3-4 spot. I think it's the point guard that they need the role in. I like what Jason can come off the bench, Jason Kadeen, do his thing, but they need that gun point guard, in my opinion. Could be wrong, but I just think that's what they're missing. You put him and a DJ, I can see how that can work. But now I don't know what you're going to do with Mitch McCarron and Jason Kadee and, you know, Dench and all these other guys.
So there's a lot.
I don't know where they do that, but they're not far away, buddy. They're far enough.
Look, Daniel Johnson's just sitting on his butt at home. I don't know why they don't reactivate him or try and go back to him.
That was mentioned in the thing. I agree with you, but they scored 100 points, mate. I don't think that's the – like, I like to – don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of DJ. You know that, right? And I love him. But to me, if you bring him in when they're scoring, and in saying that as well, the other games they only scored 70-odd. So you're right, okay? So
But I think you just accidentally explained why they haven't gone back to Daniel Johnson, because if they're going to sign Dejan Vasiljevic, which looks very much like close to a done deal, you can't have DJ and DJ. You just can't. Just going to confuse everybody at time.
But they had Brad Dalton and Brad Rosen and Brad Williams. Who and who? Oh, no, everyone knows Brad Dalton. What am I saying? Okay. Well, look, just obviously a number of games last round, and they were all very, very good. Round two, we're obviously talking about. Is there anything, you know, I'll go through real quickly. Obviously, Brisbane on the road to New Zealand, good win. They won. Cairns beating Phoenix.
That surprised me. Yep,
okay. Tassie beating the Kings. Perth beating Adelaide. Illawarra beating Phoenix. Absolute scoring fest, mind you. Yep. Phoenix very undermanned. Brisbane losing at home to Cairns in, we will have to touch on that Aaron Baines thing, but I'll come back to you on there. Tassie beating Melbourne, as we said, and Kings beating Adelaide. But anything stand out there?
Yeah, for me, the one that jumped off the page really was there's two things. One was Tasmania Jack Jumpers, that whole double beating Sydney and Melbourne in the same round. You know, two of your major contenders to do that was impressive. Mm. The other thing I thought was Adelaide 36ers management needs a good swift kick up the butt, because when they saw the draw, you know, you know what happens. The draw comes out, the league gives every club the draw.
Ages,
and they say, look, what do you like? What do you not like? You know, we can make, and then they make adjustments when the clubs put in their requests or their complaints. Now, the doomsday double used to be you come in and you play Adelaide and you go to Perth, or you play Perth and play Adelaide. That was the double.
Yeah.
It wasn't you fly to Perth and then you fly to Sydney. That's just freaking ridiculous. That expectation of a 36ers to be able to put their best foot forward against the Sydney Kings was absurd. And if they didn't fight that, then there's something seriously wrong with them. Because Sydney road trip should be, if you're going to play a double with Sydney, it should be with Sydney and Illawarra or Sydney and Brisbane. They make sense. But to have Perth and Sydney as a road trip means they basically just sort of said, look, we don't care about Adelaide. They're going to roll out two more in the L column for them.
And that, my ladies and gentlemen, friends, is why Botty is Body. BOTINAGY.com. He knows everything. It's fantastic. So, you know what? I didn't even think about that, mate. Did not even come into my mind. Now that you say that, I was like, I did think, wow, Perth, Sydney, that's a tough double. But I didn't think about the kilometres so much on it. So, good call.
I just think when you see that draw, if you're only a coaching staff and you see that draw and it first comes in the roughy, you know, you go, well, we can't do that. We can't do that one.
Interesting.
That's got to be
all right. Let's jump in, and we do have to touch on this, and I'm going to start by saying I don't certainly have all the information, so I'm only going to, you know, speculate a little bit here. But what went on in that Brisbane-Cairns game was pretty ugly. There's investigations, and of course, for people that haven't seen it, there was an issue with Aaron Baines where he was elbowed, rightly so. He had every right to be upset with the elbow because it was slapped on the jaw. But then what happened afterwards was pretty bad. Body, thoughts?
I just thought, that Aaron lost control of himself. But, I mean, fortunately, he controlled himself enough not to go physically silly on the court. But you could just tell with the amount of players that had to restrain him and the look in his eyes that he'd lost it. And it was a really optics for the game was really, really bad. Mm. And then, you know, he sort of, when they left the court at halftime shortly thereafter, you know, he left, you know, they all walked out together, the Brisbane and the Cairns players, and he's walking beside Lat Mayen, who was the culprit in the incident with him. So that looked like it had the potential to turn into something bad. And then to have an incident with Adam Ford in the tunnel, again, we don't know what
investigating that. Yeah, Brisbane have come out, though. I'm not sure if it's general manager or CEO, whoever it was. He's come out and defended with what's happened, and he's, you know, not happy about Adam Ford. Now, I know Cairns were on a flight on Sunday. They're in Washington, right? So they don't play for the next 2 weeks because they're, in the NBL.
Yeah.
Playing, I think they'll play Washington, and then Toronto in Toronto, right? So I have a feeling something will come out of it. There's no question. But, yeah, very, very, very unforeseenly sight. I agree with everything you said there, and we move on. I think that's the best. Yeah. Tell me your moments of the round.
Oh, look, my favourite moment of the round, and I'm curious as yours, because there was a bunch of really good things.
Yeah, there was.
But to me, it was Milton Doyle somebody recently said he looked reminded him of Leroy Loggins. Well, maybe, but the baskets he made at the end of the game to beat Melbourne United were the baskets of an absolute champion. I had the pleasure of being on radio on another network this week, and they asked me who's my MVP candidate. I said Milton Doyle, if he just maintains the way.
Hang on. You're doing other shows and not with me, buddy. What is going on?
Listen, the bromance between you and Derek Rucker on the TV the other night, I had to turn the volume down.
Don't worry. You and everyone else turns the volume down when I commentate, mate. Don't worry about it.
All right, Tisha, you do have me on a technicality, yeah. But, yeah.
I can't believe you are cheating on me, Botty.
Oh, geez. Oh, look at you. You're popping up everywhere in media. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do this in public. Anyway, Doyle's basket. So the coolness and just the willingness to take that shot and the comfort with which he shot it is brilliant.
Well, I will go back and I'll keep saying it. One of the best coaches. I mean, think of the coaches that are not coaching in this league anyway. You know how I feel about, you know, certain coaches. And he is amazing, Milton Doyle. And for Joey Wright to come out and go, I think he's the best player in the league, that tells you something. You know how I feel about Joey, and I don't even have to ask how you feel about Joey, right? But for him to say that with all these players, and look at him, Milton Doyle is just a flat-out baller. Coach's dream. I love it. Yep. Well done. That was a good moment. Mine?
What was yours?
I can't go against Jacob Wiley's dunk against the Kings. Jordan Hunter was outstanding that game, and he was MVP, right? But Jordan Hunter was but he went up for the block. Jordan, good on him. I love the kid, and he's great. But that dunk by Wally, and then his energy afterwards, I just absolutely love it.
Yep. I've got to agree with you. That was pretty good. Well, that was the one where it started at the other end, right, with the block.
Yes. And this is the thing I say about Adelaide, buddy. When they get in the defensive end and they don't break down, they're great in the open floor. They're awesome in the open floor. And that's what got them 100 points. But unfortunately, they break down defensively.
What he did was something that we saw Dante Exum do. I've seen Xavier Cooks do. I've seen Duop Reith do at the World Cup.
Yep.
You block a shot at one end, you run the lane hard, your teammates reward you at the other end, and you throw down an absolute weapon of a dunk. Yeah, I'm loving seeing that. That's reward for effort.
Yep. All right, come on, Nodge Nasty.
What about,
talk to me.
Oh, do I have to go first? Can't you give us a rose and rally? Yeah, give us something nice.
Mate, because it's you, I'll go first. All right. I'm going to bring out my man. I do love him. Brian Gorshin. Now, I got to interview him, which is one of the first things, you know, because he's never not coaching, right? So I got to interview him during the game on Saturday night. And before I got there, you know, like he was there before the tip-off, and he's with Bill Tomlinson. So we all remember Billy Tomlinson. Billy was also my coach, but all three of us were gorgeous coach. Billy and myself as assistant back in the day. So it was a great to catch up. The three of us was fantastic. And to have a chat with Gorge on air, mate, he is just the basketball junkie. And to hear him talk and his enthusiasm on the league, and then, you know, what are you doing? Mate, it is boomers, boomers, boomers. I've got this thing. You know, we put through a lot of young guys. It wasn't fantastic. We all know what happened. But he is so pumped. He's going over, I think he said late November or something, to the States. He's going to go and see every player. And he is so zoned into Paris.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, you said maybe that'll be his swan song. I've heard you say that, as in boomers. And just seeing how focused he is, you might be right, mate. I can see both sides of it, but I'm just it just gave me goosebumps to see this guy. He just wants basketball to win, and the passion that comes out of him is second to none. So my Rosen Rattler is for my band Gorsh.
That's fantastic. And I do think for both him and for Lauren Jackson, Paris Olympics would be a fitting finale if that's what they choose. I mean, if they want to go on beyond that. No
they
one
have
chose
the
that,
right
but that would be
to
a
choose
great,
whatever. Yes.
Mm. And I reckon that was Andrew Bogut's intention too with Tokyo before COVID hit and Tokyo got put off and he just couldn't, you know, look after his body well enough, or his body wouldn't keep going for that long. Mm. But I think that was the way he planned to playing the two. So, all right, let me go the other way. I got the nasty. I'm talking about Angus Glover again. Last week, I think I was complaining about the fact that the refs are paying the flop. Angus has been through, what is it, 3 knee reconstructions. He's made it back from all of that. He's a glue guy. He does everything you want him to do. That Game 5 of the Grand Final series, he was outstanding, and you feel nothing but joy watching him do the little things. But he has got to stop flopping. Honestly, his flopping is an embarrassment. Okay, even his hair turns red; it blushes when he does it. You know, you just brush past him, and he's 20 feet in another direction. It's just ridiculous. He did 2 flops. He got warned for one. He did another one that they let go in the game against Adelaide, where I think Jesse Wagstaff turned to Chris Gording and said, "That's a bit over the top." So, Angus, please, if you listen to the program, I'd love your game. Stop doing that crap. Can you imagine Larry Bird doing that or Michael Jordan doing that? If that's what you aspire to, then don't do that rubbish.
In the NBA, all I imagine now is people getting traded. My God, I'm over the bloody trades. Just stay with one bloody team. Anyway, separate issue. Right, okay. Buddy, I'm going to go quickly through and I just want your quick tips and then we're out of here. So quick tips, right? Tassie at home versus the Hawks.
Tassie?
Yep, me too. Brisbane at home versus Sydney.
Sydney.
Oh, that's tough, isn't it? Yeah, I'm going to go Sydney.
It is a tough one.
Because I can see this, I'll be very quick, I can see this both ways. What happened on the weekend could galvanise Brisbane coming off a loss, but also it could absolutely destroy some stuff as well. Perth at home against Melbourne. Whoa.
Yeah, might be the game of the round. They're both not where they want to be yet. You know, it's early days
Perth,
in terms of... I'm tempted to go the other way, to go Melbourne.
I'll tell you why I'm going Perth, because at halftime of that game, it's 10:30 still for Melbourne at night, so they finish at 11:30. It's damn late for them, so I just feel the legs and the body. I know they'll go over a day earlier, but I still think there's an advantage there by playing that late.
Those guys are used to being up late. They're a bunch of party animals.
Yeah, I know, but I just...
Brad News out of the town every week.
Yeah. All right, so you're going Melbourne, good. Adelaide at home versus the Hawks. Big one,
Adelaide.
Interesting. Yeah,
Adelaide gets that.
Interesting. Phoenix at home versus the Jack Jumpers.
Jackies, I'm afraid.
I'm assuming Cook will be out still.
I can see Phoenix causing an upset there,
they did with Perth. Phoenix are the same every year at the moment, aren't they? Where some weeks they're so good and then they, you know, go and drop their lollies in Illawarra, which, don't get me wrong, is not a, you know, they're the wins you need. And when you look back at the end of the season and you're 1 win out of the top 6 or 2 win out of the 4th spot or 3rd spot or whatever comes back to bite you. Melbourne United at home against Brisbane. Melbourne.
Yeah. I mean, look at what we've got. Yeah.
Go on, sorry. Keep going.
I was going to say, look at how good the comp is already. We're 2 rounds in and we don't have an undefeated team.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? I know. I saw that too. Everyone's had a loss. Yeah.
That is great.
And then to finish off the round, I'm actually calling that one as well, Sydney versus Perth. Cracker games.
Oh, geez. See, I can't see Perth losing twice in a weekend. So I might have to revisit the Perth-Melbourne one because I don't reckon I know which way you're going because you cut you and you bleed purple one arm and gold the other arm. So I know who you're going for.
No, I will say that before I answer that, I want to see both games. Right now, I believe that Perth will be the team to beat in that game. Right, I really do because I think Alex Sarr, I'm loving. Bryce is on another level. You know, they're playing some really good basketball. I am a big fan of the way they're playing. Right. So, and Usher, his energy. So, something just says, I think it's Perth, but it's so hard. And we always talk about that. I got to see how Sydney play against Brisbane. And, I want to see how Perth plays against Melbourne. So, really difficult. But right now, I am swaying towards Perth.
Yeah. I'm asking you this question, Sean Bruce. How's he travelling? Because I thought his game against Adelaide was beautiful, to be honest.
Yeah,
I've been a fan of him, and I'm happy that he found a home in Sydney. And I know he's
found a good home. But, look, I think he's finding his feet again as well. I think with all the changes that have happened, I think he and Angus Glover are two that are very much affected. You know, Quatnoy came out and went bang in that first game.
Yeah,
and I still find that the others, and I'm including Brucey in this, is just trying to find what, because, you know, know, there's Jalen Adams, and then he's had Valentine at the point sometimes, who I think's a little bit turnover prone there. So then, you know, it's just, I just don't think he's found that niche yet. I don't think he's playing awful. I just don't think he's playing to the level that we've seen him play, but he can't stay like that. Otherwise, coach is going to have to make some changes here because, but I don't like Valentine as the backup. I think he's too good. He's great. His assist ratio is awesome, but I think he's better where he's playing the two guard, coming off and then getting the ball and creating. That's, I hope I answered that, but that's how I'm feeling.
Yeah. What's your thinking on that? Just jumping back to the Tasmania Sydney game where Jalen Adams went out and was throwing up. Do you remember that part of
Football
the game? He went,
go on, keep throwing up. Yep.
I'm just saying he was vomiting during the game, so it was obviously he wasn't 100%, or was it just
I don't know.
Tasmania makes him sick. Or...
Yeah, he came back there and God, I didn't play here 2 years ago. I don't know what was really wrong, but you know he had that bleeding nose as well in the preseason game up where he couldn't play the first half and stuff. And I'm not saying it's all related, but yeah, it was just a weird situation, but the Kings made nothing of it. I know.
Yeah.
But can I say to you, I thought he was a little bit ball dominant at the end of that game, which hurt Sydney. He was great. He was putting the ball in the hole, but everyone else was standing around. But they did learn from that on there.
Yeah. I liked Alex Toohey's first half. He sent a message.
He'll only get better as well. He'll only get better.
Yeah.
All right, my man. Thank you so much to everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you're enjoying it. We're having a bit of fun. Of course, you can follow us on all socials. Thank you again to our good friends, Burger Boss. Buddy, you're the man, my friend. See you next week.
Okay. Ciao.
Buddy, I want you to picture this with me. You're sitting in the change room in Brisbane and you come out and you just see Aaron Baines and Coach Ford. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Coach Ford was a prison officer. So he would know how to go. Who's your money on?
Well, in any basketball altercation throughout time, my money's always been on Andrew Vlahov.